We wait for things that we don't know quite what's going to happen. You've all been in situations where you've had to wait. There have been situations where we wait in grocery lines, we wait at the bank, we wait for a response, we wait for a relationship to develop, we wait for the right job to come. All kinds of things that we wait for. Some of those things we know are right there on the edge. We know we're about to receive them, but we still have to wait. Sometimes we wait patiently, but if you're like me, sometimes you are impatient. Anybody impatient in the group? Okay, yeah, see, like it's like we have a brotherhood, a fellowship of impatience here, you know? Okay. So in the process of being impatient, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about several years ago now, in Eastern Europe, and we were in a line. Anybody ever been in a line in Eastern Europe? Everybody ever waited in a line in Eastern Europe? It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. You've waited in lines in some other places, haven't you? You know, so here in the States, you know, if you were waiting in line, you'd wait. You'd get behind the person. You know, you'd line up, and one by one, you'd be cared for. But we were in an embassy, and we had to get a visa, and the visa was critical. I mean, everything rested on obtaining this visa. So I walk into the room, and I see this big long line, and I'm thinking, oh no, I'm in a hurry. I'm going to wait in line. So I get to the back of the line, and then I realize right away nobody else is waiting in line. Everybody else is just kind of pushing up, and everybody just wants to get their head into the window, you know, and it seemed to be the appropriate thing to do, you know. So when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So it pushed to the front of the line, you know, and kind of that spirit of impatience kind of came out, kind of paid off for a little bit. But most of the time for us, we wait, and we wait with a spirit of patience, and that's what we do at Advent. We patiently wait for something that we know is going to arrive. We can count on it. December 25th is going to be a day of celebration. The 24th, we're going to gather here at night. We're going to light candles, and we're going to remember what God has done for us in sending His Son into the world. But there are other times where when we wait, even though we know what the end result is going to be, we know that waiting brings us a spirit of anticipation, and we don't know quite how to deal with that. In our family, we just, I'll say we just had a baby, but you know that's not Sue and I. Fair enough? Okay. That's actually our granddaughter just had their second baby, little boy, who is, he was born in September, and he's now in training to be an NFL quarterback right now at this this very moment. So our great-grandson, you know, and in the process of that waiting, you know what it's like. I mean, those of you who are moms, you know that process of waiting. You don't want to wait one moment longer, but to know you want to wait to the right time, because the time will be right. And so we wait in that spirit as well during Advent. We wait for the time to be right, for God's time to be right. In the ancient days with the people of Israel, there was this season of waiting, and it was a long waiting. And sometimes people waited patiently, and sometimes people were very impatient in the process of waiting. But before long, God began to address the waiting agenda of the people. And He recognized that there was a lot of pain that was present, and they needed a word of hope. They needed something new to happen in their lives, and so He was sort of captured by this young man named Isaiah. And Isaiah was in the temple one day worshiping the Lord when he saw God high and lifted up. It says that Isaiah caught a glimpse of God and recognized in that image of catching a glimpse of God, he recognized his own sinful nature, and he cried out to God for a spirit of forgiveness. And he was forgiven, and he was blessed. And then God spoke into that arena and said, who will go for me? Who will speak my word on my behalf? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And so God said, okay. And so God sent Isaiah into the world, into the community as a prophet. And that prophecy began to flow through people that were gathered all around. And he began to speak about the coming of a promised child. A child that would arrive, a child that would answer all the questions, a child that would solve all the problems, all the difficulties, a brand new government, a brand new way of thinking about kingdom living. And so Isaiah began to speak that word. And some people heard his word, And they discounted it. In fact, they didn't even listen to it at all. They said, get away. It just sounds like craziness to us. And they pushed him aside. And others thought it was a little strange, it was a little unusual what Isaiah was saying, but they were willing to listen for a little bit. And so they listened and they questioned and they wondered, could it really be true? Could that really be the case? And then there were still others who said, yes, I think you're on to something. I believe I'm hearing from God through your voice. And Isaiah continued to speak. And those people that heard and received that message, they clung to it. In fact, there were times when I'm sure that they said, Isaiah, tell us again. Tell us again. And so he might have said these words. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And the people who are living in desperate difficulty, people who are living in pain and poverty, people who are rebounding from war and difficulty, those people who are living in darkness had seen a great light. So for those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. It's like it has already happened, even though they're anticipating and they're waiting for it. The light has already dawned. It says, you enlarge their nation and increase their joy, and they rejoice before you as people rejoice at a harvest. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that day on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The zeal, the passion, the enthusiasm, the committed spirit of God will make this come to pass, what will make this happen. A child will be born, and that child will be known as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his reign, there will be no end. He will reign over David's kingdom. David, the line of David for them meant it was the Messiah. It wasn't just any child that was going to be born. It wasn't just any old family. It was the line of David. And because it was the line of David, that meant it was something special and they had something unique that they could hold on to. But some rejected it. Still today, people reject it. For centuries, people have been looking at Isaiah's words and wondering, what in the world did he mean? What's he really, really talking about? Even today, people look at Isaiah's words and say, what is this all about? What's happening? Who is this child who's going to be born? And some people point to royalty. Maybe the crown prince Hezekiah, who's been born, who is going to rule and reign one day. Maybe it's Hezekiah's birth that they're really talking about in this process. But they're saying, no, this is not just an ordinary birth. This is something different. This is a different kind of birth that we're talking about. And before long, they begin to look for that reality of the Messiah, the gift that they had expected for a long time, a really remarkable gift that they had expected, but they didn't know if they could ever really get their hands on it. And so they waited, and they prayed, and they wondered, and they got ready. And that's what we do at Advent. We wait, and we pray, and we wander, and we get ready. We get ready for what we know is going to happen. But for the people in Isaiah's day, it didn't happen the same way it's going to happen for us. It happened generation and generations later. We look at this story through the eyes of the New Testament. We hear this message, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. And we immediately go from that moment in time and we make a direct path to Bethlehem. Do you do that? You go right to Bethlehem? And you can see Mary and Joseph, and you can see them in the manger there in the area, trying to stay warm in Bethlehem, because that's our experience. That's what we already know about this gift that is given. And so this unexpected gift that comes in the most remarkable way becomes the centerpiece of all that we think about when it comes to this season of Advent, the child who's going to be born. And in that message, in Isaiah's message. There's this incredible word. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." You know what the biggest word is in that passage? Us. You know how big us is? You know how big that is? For Isaiah in his day, us meant the people who were hearing the message. For unto us a child is born. But in a remarkable way, it was for the whole nation. Unto us, all the people walking in darkness. Unto us a child is born. But it's even bigger than that, because it's really you and me. We are a part of that us. Unto us, unto the whole of creation, a child is born. Unto the entire gift that God has given to the world, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I wonder if we could just, if we had time this morning to be able just to sit down together, maybe cluster up in two or three, and to talk about what those words meant to us. To talk, what does it mean when you hear somebody say, "Wonderful Counselor"? What does it mean when someone says, when the Scripture says, "Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace"? I wonder which one would you choose out of those four. Which one would you choose? Would you choose peace? Would you choose Counselor? Would you choose Mighty God? How would you view that for your own life? The great gift is this. We get to gather them all. We get all of them. Because the gift always comes to us in the most unexpected way, at the most remarkable moment, even though we know it's coming. You're going to get some gifts this year, I'll bet. I'll bet you're going to get some gifts. I'll bet there's going to be something under your tree. Maybe a little something in the stocking hung by the fireplace. I don't know how you do that. But you're going to get something. Something will come along. But the greatest something, the greatest gift, a gift that comes from the hand and heart of God Almighty, is the gift of the Lord Jesus, coming to transform all of our worlds, coming to make us new and alive and vital and effective in the way that we serve this gift that we know as Jesus and as we remember as the risen Lord, the one who is and was and is to come, the one who was from the very beginning but now comes in an unexpected way. I wonder what kind of waiting we'll have to do. I wonder what kind of preparation we'll have to do. It might be different for every single one of us, the way that we prepare for the coming of the Christ child. What will it be like for you? What kind of waiting and preparing will you need to do so that when the moment arrives, you can claim the word us and you can say, "I'm a part. I'm a part of that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." When we're ready, when the time is right, in the fullness of God's time, God will bring the most unexpected gift in the most unexpected way to people who are ready. Advent is about getting ready. What will you do? What will you do to really be ready for what God has in store for us? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, this morning, we simply give you thanks. We're grateful that Isaiah speaks to us. We're grateful that the zeal of the Lord God Almighty makes this happen. We're thankful for the privilege of being able to wait. We pray, God, that you would make this come alive in our lives in this season, that as we look to the gift of Christmas, that we look to you, we hear your hope, and for whatever darkness there might be in our life, for whatever difficulty, whatever pain, whatever problem might arise, we pray, God, that you would speak into that with light for the people who are living in darkness, has seen a great light. And that light is the hope of the world. And so we cry out from the mountaintops. And we ask God that you would draw close. That you would help us to be prepared. That you would help us to wait. That you would help us to anticipate. And you would help us to know the power of your glory in our lives. We place ourselves before you, Lord, on this day. We ask that you would work with us in these days to come, that as we come to the celebration of Christmas, we would know the fullness of Christ the Messiah in our lives, a child who's been given to us. And we thank you in the name of the child, Jesus, in the name of the risen Lord, the Christ, in the name of the one who is and was and is to come. Amen and amen.